Ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, we have listened to an extensive presentation by the Department of Labor. It's a lot of information in one day, but we fight and grasp whatever we can grasp from what is presented there. And thank you, DG, for the preparations, and I think that you are ready. The way you presented it, so that you are ready, and I'm sure you are ready to engage with the members of parliament. I will give an opportunity to members to question, clarify everything that you want to raise, concerns, settings. Over to you, members. Let me start in this order with Honorable Loliwe, Honorable Mantashe, Honorable Mwane, Honorable Martina. Oh, sorry. Honorable Mutega, Honorable Franz Kaspay. She is not my dinner.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to check from the presentation of the DG. I want to check myself in correctly when you said some of the offenders are not compliant with the physical challenge. I'm not sure whether I heard it correctly, but there's an area you said they were not compliant. I'm also looking at their cases of misconduct, where they say 77% has been resolved. What are the categories? Can we be given that a clue? On the issue of litigation, if they say at least they have resolved 80%, what is the area of weakness which is always exposing us to litigation?
Thank you, Honorable Loliwe, Honorable Mantashe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. Chair, before I pose my questions, we would request that there be some amendments that are done on the revised strategic plan. For instance, on the page 15, that sentence that talks on public employment services paragraph, that can they clarify it for us? And on page 17, the situation analysis will explain. Our view is that information is outdated and needs to be updated. And on page 19, the Commission for Employment Equity, the second bullet, sub-bullet 9, the sub-bullet is a repetition of the first one. And on page 40, the current annual budget of FTE, UI, and the compensation suggests to be corrected. And on page 8, part of the strategic overview, same as page 70 of the threat plan. Our interview is that the information is updated and it needs to be updated. And on the presentation, say, a report was given that the draft regulation that was published was withdrawn after complaints or lack of clarity about the use of regional and national demographics. Has that issue been resolved? And without you know, singling out who made the presentation. I have the following questions and recommendations. The shocking of the cancer rate that for me is very high. And my question would be, does the quest to care for the vacancy, high vacancy rate, match the budget estimates that they have so that they can address the market? Because it is only a fully fledged public service that can be delivered services to the citizenry of the country. And what does the department have as a measure to curb the staff turnover, in particular the auditors? Because if we want to be expressed to the auditor general, we need to address this much. I'm worried about the insufficient enforcement officers, because there are a lot of non-compliance, in particular with the compensation, the quite. So the insufficient enforcement officers, if they're not sufficient, are not going to improve as a country. And therefore, for me, they must clarify if this can be addressed with current budget elements that they use. I'm sorry. And if with these questions combined, what is the percentage that could be reasonable to be proposed for increase of their budget in order for them to improve on the current situation? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable.
Thanks, Chair. Just a few questions for clarity. The first one is on, just have to make sure that I, but on the proposed solutions, on the challenges which have been identified by the department, should be slide number 12. Of the budget review. They're mentioning a lot of things there. Just to mention one, unemployment and underemployment as one of the challenges facing the labor market. One would just appreciate if the department has some kind of proposals or suggestions in terms of that, because it cannot just be a statement and we leave it there. It would be a challenge. I have seen on program one, which is called the administration, out of the five items, there are now two which have been added. That is the security services, and also the other one is the chief information officer or something like that. Yeah. Just to know why an additional breakdown, because my little understanding seems to say among these five, these two can still be included, or they come from the five. Either they come from the five, or they can still be included. But what were the reasons that they're now separated? My worry is that the other day we're going to have an additional marriage. Now we're expanding. The other one, just a further clarity on the audit outcomes. On the audit outcomes, in particular on the issue of the vacant post at senior management level, where not filled at the required time as a public service regulation. And the bullet number one, funded posts were not filled within 12 months and vacant positions in the department were not advertised within 6 months. Just a clarity, because the statement itself, as much as it sounds like a contradictory statement, but we still need a clarity as to why such a situation. because it looks like it's backward and forward. You are saying in terms of the cases which we are busy investigating, dealing with them, somewhere you mentioned that you did not have the capacity as a department. Have you considered other agencies to help you? Because the argument is, if you are saying we don't have capacity to deal with some of the cases, but we are not saying when are we going to get that capacity and how, it's a challenge. That's why I'm saying maybe we should consider using other agencies if ever the magnitude is at that level. Well, the last one is on the breakdown of the capacity building breakdown figures. That is on page 27 of page 27, slide number 54. There are just figures there and there. One would appreciate if under the same format which we used, which is more clear, can be utilized as well to indicate the breakdown where in this country, this 141 in wholesale and retail sector, and so on and so on. But that should also include, what about other sectors? I don't think in the whole country we only have these three sectors. Thank you, sir.
It's a point of concern, and I want to know whether the department had exit interviews, for example, with the people leaving, to establish why actually there's such a high turnover in this department, in this directorate. Also on the responsiveness to client complaints, which we know that is directly relating to service delivery to our people. And in some provinces, it's way below the target that's been set by the department. And what I want to know is what the department is doing to increase the responsiveness to the client complaint, in especially in these provinces that's below the target. The awareness campaigns, especially in rural areas, on services rendered by the department, I need to know if there's a plan that they are having or something in place with regard to regular awareness campaigns to the communities on the services rendered by departments, because you know in some instances there's services that our people, our community members are entitled to, but they are not aware of the services that's been rendered, and as a result they are missing the time frames that's been set by the department. On the program fund that's been planned by the Department of Domestic Workers and Farm Workers, I want to know if there's a time frame that they're having, that they spoke about the other things that they are starting to do with the departments, but they didn't elaborate on the in this area whether they have time frames. Are they going to do for the full term of the 5 years or what's actually happening with regard to the time frames in this area. On the work seekers place, we know that we have a high unemployment rate in some provinces, and if we look at the figures of work seekers that has been placed, it's very low. So is there something that the department is doing to improve that? We know that they said that they want to increase it by 1,000 or so, but if they can look into some areas to try and increase that, that percentage of work seekers placed. With regards to the training of staff that has been presented, they did indicate that it's according to the workplace skills plan, but if we look at the vacancy rate within a department, and I want to know especially if we look at the training of staff, if it assists in terms of upward mobility of current employees, because as we know that in some instances that some departments are failing to attract people, but also they are failing to uplift their current employees. So if we look at the workplace skills plans, are they making the necessary provisions for the internal staff to be uplifted and then being acknowledged for upward mobility posts? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Honourable. Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Muteka, ne?
Muteka.
Muteka,
yes. Thank you, Chair. I have some inputs here and the questions. The first one will come in the form of a question. I've heard through the presentation that there are some unqualified audit results. So the question, my question is, what have you done about it? And what measures are you putting in place to make sure that it is not happening again? The other question is about the PEAs and TES, those agencies. We hear they resist to register. What is that you have in terms of the law that you can do? Because this thing of keeping on saying people resist, is not going to help us. Thirdly, when I'm looking at this slide on page 26 and page 27, I see a very poor performance from enforcement and inspection. Because if you can check on responsiveness to client complaints, the only message on Superint, that is KZN and Mpumalanga. The rest is below the target. So I'm more interested in checking on what was the targets and the actuals on the previous year. If this is not just a repetition of every year, the same thing is happening. Because why I'm saying this, we're looking at the excuses like staff, resources and other things. If really you can't do the job now and you're waiting to report next year, and be accepted if that's the OC. I'm not saying that's how it is, but if it does again, it cannot be accepted. Something must be done. As my colleague, Honorable Forens, said, you look at other ways like agency and all the other things. Because you cannot just fold arms and they will report next year. When you present, it cannot. You see, the reason why I'm going through this thing in details is because I've been exposed to this thing in the workplace for 20 years. I've been in factory for 20 years. And I know when the Department of Labor arrives there, why are they doing? You see, sometimes they come in, take paperwork, and then say, qualify, they leave. You see, so, Employment Equity Act. It's a very, very, very important thing together with OSH Act. We cannot allow a situation whereby the OSH Act is neglected because there is some excuse. People are dying in the factories and in the mine. So the enforcement to make sure that companies are compliant is very, very, very important than the rest of those things because we're saving lives. It's not only about statistics, it's about the lives that are working there. So, I'll give you an example of even an EPDA. Some of the things that are happening in the workplace is like remuneration differences, for example. You will find the problem starts during the appointment or promotion. Because what is happening, they will overlook other people who are more qualified or are more academically processed during appointments or during, because they will say he's an assistant or she's assisting this senior operator. Then later on, she's got money for that. When you come in for inspection, you will only check against what he's doing, not how did he become. How did he come to be appointed? So you cannot blame an inspector, because the inspector is going to check the duties, what is it the person is doing against race and all that. But how did he get there? You find the person doesn't even have standards for, but there are people who have diplomas and other things who could even get a chance to do that. So if learning equity starts from promotion, from same insect, up to treatment and salary placement. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Moteka. Honorable America.
Eric, America. Thank you, Madam Honorable Chair. I'm from the Democratic Alliance, DA, Eric, America. I'm going to start, you know, where the other speakers ended, Honorable Chair. Some of my colleagues have also raised it. And that's to do with the inspectors that's responsible for compliance within the workplace. And when we look at slide number 9, it gives us a sort of a perspective of the ratio of inspectors per entity, and ours is one inspector for 114,000 entities, which is quite huge. But having said that, if one look at the audited or budgeted amount for inspection, as indicated on page 16, one noticed that the amount budgeted had actually decreased. So the inference that one makes is that there is no clear plan as to how we can expand the capacity of our labor inspectors to make sure compliance and monitoring of legislation and other regulations are actually taking place within the workplace. But then I also want to refer you to page 13, and that relates to the audit outcomes, where it states, amongst other things, that the predetermined objectives, and I specifically want to highlight, the indicators are not well defined. Now, the indicators refer to the strategic outcomes and what we are required to monitor. And if one looks at it, it's still, to me, that particular concern had not been addressed yet, because some of these indicators are not clearly defined. It is very vague, and I'll refer to some of it as we go along. Then further in the same slide, 3.1, it states that a lump sum payment of a terminated employee was made in contravention with section 16B and whatever else. Now the question is, had that been addressed? Are measures in place to recover the irregular payment to the employee? And then I want to link up also with the concerns raised by Honorable Matashe and Honorable Van Skalkwyk regarding the vacant post. Now, some of the indicators said that we want to reduce vacancy rate by a certain percentage. Now for me, that is very vague in the sense that we should strive to have a vacancy rate which is generally accepted of 4%. And we should work towards that, and as we embark on the journey to achieve that vacancy rate, because we have lots of unemployment in the country, Madam Chair, and we can't have such a high vacancy rate. The department has to ensure that we achieve full employment. So if we want to act as a department, as an employment agency also, and register unemployed people who are job seekers, then we must also up the game. Instead of setting ourselves very low targets of 10% of those registered on our books, we should really make a concerted effort to be more ambitious in terms of setting the targets. Instead of placing 5,000 of a projected 55,000 employees, so that we could put many of our people back into jobs. And so, Madam Chair, I would like to state that on page 24, we have indicated strategic objective number 6. We have, and it's very, very faint in the context, and maybe it is better if I read there. Bear with me, Madam Chair, I'm a bit disabled as far as my sight is concerned. Percentage of women in SMS youth, people with different abilities, employed in line with the employment equity plan. Now there are percentages, and that's the difficulty that we have in some of these indicators. It gives us percentages, but it's not very clear as to specific targets per quarter as to what we want to achieve. We have 1% there for 80%, 45%, whatever. Is it an annual sort of percentage? How are we going to measure that during the course of the year, whether we have attained that percentage? Are we going to do that only once a year and say, okay, we have achieved the 3% or the 45%? And then we also have, Madam Chair, and this is the one that I referred to, is a percentage right below that of vacancy rate reduced by a 31st of March and reduction by 10%. The question is 10% of what are we going to reduce it? 10% of the 6% that we have? So that's the kind of clarity that I think is fairly missing. In the next slide, Madam Chair, we have strategic objective number 9, 9.3, state percentage reduction in audit findings. It's 50% again. It is very vague, 50% of what are we going to achieve? Are we going to measure that outcome? And below is exactly the same. So it's good to have this target, but it will be very difficult to monitor on an ongoing basis if we don't break it up a little further. Then further, Madam Chair, on page 29, slide number 4, decent employment for inclusive economic growth, 5.2.1, the slide number. The number of advocacy and educational sessions conducted per year in identified sectors. We have an annual target of 6. And then it's further in the 4 quarters, 1, 2, 2, 1. Now, Madam Chair, I must say that's a very low target in terms of we talk about national sort of performance, is that we should at least have that target in each province. At least one in each province. One doesn't know where it's going to take place. Then, Madam Chair, in conclusion, I'd like to refer you to page 33. As far as my earlier statement is concerned regarding the the vagueness of some of these indicators. We have the performance indicators, we have annual targets, we have progress. Now, it is good and well if we have achieved the progress, but if we have not achieved the target, no explanation as to why we have not achieved and what are the difficulties that we have as to why we have not achieved the target, so that we as committee could assist the department in addressing those difficulties so that we can assist them to achieve targets. So maybe that's for me is a shortcoming. And then this is one more point. On page 38, we about some labor relations issues and the extension of the collective agreement on that slide, and 96% of new applications for labor organizations were processed within 90 days. Nothing is stated about the deregistration of non-compliant organizations, because annually there's a list of labor unions that are not compliant in terms of the submission of annual audited financial statements and other related matters, and there's nothing stated about that. And then finally, the last slide, Madam Chair, before the thank you slide, is that we speak about 4 research reports completed. When are those reports? Is it going to be 1 quarterly, or 2 half yearly? Perhaps that clarity, or is all 4 going to be the annual target? And then the strategic plan of the department is very silent on absenteeism, because nothing is mentioned about the rate of absenteeism that's tolerable in the department. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Erica. I will not ask any questions for now. I will come later. You want to come in again? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Just 2 last items on my notes. In particular, on the presentation, when it talks about 19 mobile units, which were not for us, for all the 19 are operational, and are they sufficient, but from where was it said they are not sufficient? And what is it which the department is going to do? Because the entire country, 19 mobile units, there should be something like that. Of course, also looking into the conditions of those 19 mobile units. Sometimes you're actually talking about 19 as a figure, but in practice, you're talking about 9 or 10. Well, the issue of the work seekers has been raised, and I think it must be linked with the work of other departments like the FETs, because the way it's put in the report, it's as if there is a problem of this job seekers, demand and supply. There is a mismatch, but we don't break even to say what to do in practice. And that's why one is introducing this FET thing. The last one, Chair, you see slide number 18. Slide number 25, page 18. There it says and it's written. Expenditure management, I'm not going to read the first bulletin, but the second one, yet, it says the accounting officer did not take effective steps to prevent fruitless and wasteful expenditure as required by the law. What's wrong? you will go home. Because, and it goes there again, revenue and receivable management. It's still the same sentence. It says the accounting office did not take effective and appropriate steps to collect all money due as per the law. It's a challenge. I'm not sure, but maybe the department will clarify with you what is actually this means. If you have an accounting officer who cannot account, that is the problem. So I just wanted to raise this matter here and there.
Thank you, members. More questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there are more questions from them.
So that they, when they respond to all the questions without us going to the board.
After you receive the honorable
I agree with the other speaker on the issues he's raised on the non-performance by some official of the department. Because the president has been changed in his state of the nation address. But it is either you reform or you quit. So we won't accept your position is in the department. So the department tell us what they have data on the two officials that have not performed. But my question was on, do we really get value for money in as far as the skills development is concerned? Because I take it that the department has done its audit of this. But they continue to tell us that there's a shortage of personnel in the audit section. In which area do they employ the finances for skills development? For me, that's a concern. Because we are sick and tired of departments who give their employees, you know, courses that have no meaning, yet they complain of shortage of people inside their department. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And apology for coming again. I would like to agree with the previous speakers that indeed action must be taken where the nation has been robbed or however, I don't know the right way. But the thing is, I think going through all these slides that I've already given before, the very, very worst performance, we must hear from the department what has been done. And the other thing that is more what I have to stress is very simple. You see, outside in the private sector, in private companies, we are praising them that if you don't, you say, I'm not qualified, pay me so that I can qualify. You see, that's why we are pushing at unions outside there. Paying them to qualify. You can't just say, your own people are not qualified and all that shit. So, if we are really pushing that pressure in the private sector, and our own department is saying the skills are not matching the requirements, the qualifications are not matching the skills required and all that, what are you doing? But if you tell them, if you tell our people away, who's going to accept them? I'm telling you, in the industry, we are forcing the management to employ those people, and then we say, you take them. That's what we do in practices in the engineering sector. But if the government, that's supposed to be the mother of the nation, and she is sending people away because they don't qualify, there is difference between, no, let us lead by example as a government. Thank you.
Over to you, STC.
Thanks a lot, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Maybe the first point to clarify is that when the performance was given, and I put the slide, first slide, that precluded the presentation from administration, is that in the last term of, that is in the 5 years of the previous administration, there were 12 outcomes, and the performance was, that is reported here, relates to the last year of the last administration, which is 2013-14. And the new strategic plans that we have presented, which followed each of the sessions where they are planned, is in line with the new administration's 5-year plan, that is the blue part. What I have discussed with my chief, Honorable Chairperson, is that the COO, Ms. Agnes Muller, will attend or respond to questions relating to the threat plans, those inconsistencies and the amendments, and how did it happen, because she's the lead planning person there. Secondly, I will ask the DDG Corporate Services to deal with all questions raised by honorable members that relate to administration, that is corporate services related matters, vacancies, legal aspects, and so on. I have made a list of them, and each time she finishes, I will check if there are outstanding questions and also add to that. The CFO will also respond to the finance-related questions, and the Public Internet Services, Ms. Kwane, will respond to those, and Lamad will respond to IF-related, and lastly, Mr. Kendikoski Mazina will respond to the labor relations-related questions, and then I will come in. Just briefly on the question of clarity on the location of our labor centers. The issue that I was saying was that although we had 126 labor centers, the problem, if some honorable members are familiar with some of the labor centers that we have, is that those that were built either outside of the residential areas or they may be in town, where in terms of the population numbers, the majority of people are living somewhere now. There were all sorts of arguments. Some are things that we inherited, but as we renew lease agreement, what I said is that we are moving in line with the research that was conducted by the Human Science Research Council and the Department for Public Service Administration on accessibility of government offices, so that our offices are located closer to where they serve people. There was also a question around the mobile center. Now, during the financial year, it's true we had 19. They are in their 7th year of operation. I mean, that is during the 1840. Now they are entering their 8th year. And during the financial year, there were 21 was a write-off. When we started the financial year, we had 19. Out of the 19, the real portion that carries most of the documents and the things that we use were no longer usable, that we decommissioned them during January this year, which is still part of the previous financial year, and gave them to the sheltered employment factories to use for transportation purposes, because they were no longer complying with our standards for our staff to work in. And I did indicate that given their years and age, we are looking at a possible, that is the kind of vehicles that we can replace them with, that can carry the satellite dishes that will have the kind of reception we want, especially in deeper rural areas, because most of these vehicles are used as part of our extension to reach out those areas that we are not able to regularly reach. And then I will speak over to the people that asked us to deal with other questions in the order. Start with a few.
I think it's okay. Commensurately, information is the right thing. And I'm looking at the commission. And I think it is that a couple of things that you do is the question of making sure that when it is a commission, it is a commission.
Note down the concerns that are raised, but I'm a little bit worried. You are saying that you did not capture everything. You missed a few. Meaning that you have to have the few, because if you are noting them with the aim of acting on them, then you must have everything in your fingertips. Yes, that's why I want all the questions to be written down, because as the members of the department are answering questions, we are filing those questions. They will come back again, and same questions will be asked. So though we don't have the system that is recorded here, so those who are responsible for capturing, they must do it, and the members, the staff, the assisting staff must make it a point that each and everything is sorted down. Thank you. Honorable,
just as a follow-up, Chair, if then the response we are getting is that the person did not capture even the questions, what commitment are we getting to get the responses? Because we can't wait for our next meeting with the department to get the responses. What are they committing to in terms of responding to us?
You want to answer the chair?
I have noted the inconsistencies that were raised on our threat term on page 15, 17, 19, and 8. And the issue that caused the in some cases, duplication and outdated information. The normal procedural thing to do is for us to do an erratum on that page to correct what the Honorable Member has identified as either duplication and outdated information on those pages that were mentioned in the threat plan in 2010 to Parliament. And that is something that can be done by FNA next week, because these mistakes that happen when people are published, and we need to correct it.
I'm tempted to ask more questions on this, DJ. But I will leave it, because I believe that we have the questions. I will leave it for today. Because the more you elaborate on it, or it provokes more questions, but I will leave it.
I think the next one of the corporate services, and I've listed questions, like I made a commitment, I tried by all means to note my questions. Where she omits something, I will come in. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members. There was a question raised around the challenges in finalizing cases of misconduct, and we were requested to identify some of the categories some of the time you deal with cases of fraud and theft, which become very, very complicated. That is on the more complex end of the scale. But other times you're dealing with simple cases just of infringement of controls, inappropriate admin systems, absenteeism. So I think what we're trying to say when we say it's sometimes they're very challenging to finalize cases within the timeline that you've planned. We can't predict the complexity of the cases. We deal with them as they arise. And that would be my response to it. And then Jefferson, there was another question around the fact whether the quest to fill vacancies.
Madam, sorry, just before you go to that one, this question of cases, I accept what you are saying. I think in the presentation you are also referring, or you referred to provinces that are delaying in responding. My question then would be, on this question of provinces, before you have targets, because you have target dates there, now before you have those targets, I don't believe that you sit in your office and then decide that in the cases in these different provinces must be here or they're going to be here. I believe that you consult with them, and what is in the target is the agreement. Then what happens?
In terms of the provinces, what I can highlight is that it's a concern, I think, that I have also picked up. I mean, I started in the department in April, but I'm engaged with the relevant officials. What I have picked up is that there is a huge challenge in terms of capacity in the provinces. The people that are in the provinces need to be skilled in order to handle a case investigation. So most of the time it's the people at the center. And the explanation that I got from the risk manager is that he relies heavily on his deputy, especially his deputy director level. So it really becomes difficult for them to cover all the provinces. But I take your point, Chair, when you are saying you cut your cloth according to your size, where you're saying basically when you set a target, you are also looking at your resources. And maybe we can just accept that perhaps the target was a bit ambitious. I'm taking now input. So I'm taking it in the spirit that says, going forward, when we plan, we must be realistic about our targets, and by all means, we will endeavor to do that. And we welcome the input and in the city group, which is proper.
I think you should take notice of this personnel who are deployed in areas where they cannot perform because of the shortage of skills. Because if we don't look into it, then we're going to listen to this until the end of the term. So that must be taken into consideration, and something must be done as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Just to proceed. There was also a question of around the fact whether the quest to fill vacancies matches the budget. The vacancy rate we are talking about is in terms of the posts that are on the structure and they are funded. So there is a budget for the posts that we are talking about, which the department to fill. And then, if I can move on, there was a question around what measures are in place to curb
the high turnover rate. What I can say is that the department does have a retention strategy and is being implemented, but in some of the fields, we are in a situation where we are competing with people that can always pay better than what the government pays. But it's not stopping us. I mean, we could explore possibilities such as addressing the staff shortages, because sometimes people walk into an environment where they are short staffed. They experience the pressure and they will go elsewhere where there is adequate staffing. So maybe the issue of addressing staff shortages should be in our basket. I have engaged the colleagues and I'm told there is an exit. The exit interviews are conducted when people leave the department. So it is part of finding out why they should leave, so that as far as possible we can eliminate those reasons for them choosing to leave the department. But I think also in addition, we can be sort of innovative, like introducing non-remunerative or non-financial incentives to just to acknowledge the extra work that people put in, and things like employee satisfaction surveys. Those are things that we can do to try to address the situation. And then there was a question around why is there I think it spoke to the addition of security services and the office of the CIO. That was an oversight at the time of preparing the slide. On the establishment, there is in existence a unit of security services. It's not a new one. And there is in existence the office of the chief information officer. So it's not as if they are just addition. There was just an oversight when the slide was prepared. And the question about whether we have considered using other agencies, I can indicate to members that the bulk of the cases that are being investigated are already referral services. The bulk of them are referrals from the Public Service Commission. They run the National Anti-Corruption Hotline, and instead of investigating, they refer the cases to the respective departments. So there's already an expectation from the Public Service Commission that the department, upon receipt of the referred cases, will return to the Public Service Commission with feedback. And then I think I've answered, because some of them came up more than once. Answered the one about high turnover at internal audit. Okay. There was a question around whether or not the training that is offered assists with upward mobility. Yes, the department does have a policy. For instance, where they mentor, they attract people at a lower level who have the potential to move up to middle management and senior management. Then they are mentored so that they meet the requirement of those levels. There is activity and strategy in place to assist people to move upward in the department. The other one was around whether the targets that are set for the employment of women, people living with disabilities, and the employment of youth, are they quarterly or annual targets? Typically, they are annual. but in the work plan, we will try to break them down into what is achievable or what the respective targets would be for the quarter, the various quarters. But as they appear, they are annual targets. And then I'm trying to go down my list of notes. And then there was a question here about whether or not we do get value for money in training people. In other words, in the line of giving people targeted training. When people conclude their performance agreement, they are also expected to highlight their personal development plan and the training that employees get is informed by the requirement that has been posted on the PDP by individual employees. And then I think there was a question from an honorable member about absenteeism not reflected. I would want to get more information so that we incorporate what is required. I acknowledge the fact that we are not reflected about absenteeism, but I would like to get more information so that we address the requirement adequately. I think I've covered, unless there are things I've missed on my list.
So Richard, there were those cases, questions around our internal capacity to investigate. Yes, indeed, where cases are criminal, we don't do them ourselves. We refer them to the internal agencies, to the external agencies that have the necessary capacity and instruments to do so. And there was a question around areas that expose us to litigation. In the main, those will come from areas around the HR-related cases, and there are also some cases in the UIF that involve medical claims. But I think if we can deal with them later, because when the commissioner talks to them, it's rather the disciplinary process within the department includes staff within the firm, the corporate sector deals with all of them. And then the last one relates to categories of misconduct that are either are not necessarily resolved quickly. And again, these are HR, there are cases of sick leave, there are cases where people have been suspended as a result of allegations, sexual harassment and all that. Now those cases normally take long because we normally use external agencies to do the facilitation including the prosecution so that there is no biasness and from internal. So those are some of the questions that I have today. Thank you very much. And maybe I can then ask the chief financial officer to talk to the financial lady.
I hope that's supposed to want to say something or not, Natasha.
Chair, I was not saying when the department says the which may be a true statement. When the department says they give employees training according to their needs, is it proper supervision that will only concentrate on what the person says he needs personally and not look into what are the needs of the department? That's what I would call value for mine. So if a person says he needs to be trained in computer literacy, he has to shut off the details. You tell us that if this person has asked for to be trained in computer literacy, yet you know your shortage of skills as a department.
So you have no role to play in that. Still going to give direction to the benefit of the department. Is that what the department is saying to us?
Thanks, Chair. Sorry, thank you, Honorable Mantasha. Members, when you ask questions, you must listen carefully as the presenters are responding. Because you have asked different questions. And once he or she moves over to other questions, you might forget whether your question was answered. So if we are all awake, when your question comes, you know your question. I know all your questions that you asked, and ask any question. But where you are not satisfied or where the question is not answered in the manner in which, you know, a child will hear the question and hear it maybe not the right way. So I think you should come in, not in a right way, you know, in an honorable way, as you are honorable. And don't allow, because we are learning, we are new. We don't want to be asking same questions to the department whenever they come here. So the sessions that we have today, let's gain as much as possible and ask clarities before we allow them to go over. There is a, maybe the question about the vacancies. How many vacancies that are there in the department? Funded vacancies that are there. And at what level? The presentation is saying something that they were not advertised within 12 months, within 12 months or within 6 months. And what did not happen in 12 months? We're not filled with it. How many that have been filled to date? So just tell us more, because you see the question of vacancies. You find it across the board in all these departments, and you don't understand, because if the vacancies are funded, now you don't know why is it impossible to fill in the gaps. And in future, when you come to this question, so that you don't ask the question, tell us what type of vacancies are there and why is it difficult. And now, I don't know about difficult, because if you have not advertised, then that's something else. It's unlike you have advertised, but in the process of interviews, you didn't get what you want. That's a different case. So here, what is really going on? How many? What level? Where are you now? There's a challenge in terms of you not advertising.
Maybe on top of your question, so that you can cover them together. We have heard that there are vacancies and the job seekers are not qualifying to the required skills. When you go to section 24 of the Employment Mobility Act, it says to you, if a person has got potential to acquire the required skills within the short period of time, that person can be appointed, then can be trained. That's Employment Equity Act Section 24. That's what we are applying outside there. So I think it should be applied inside there where the law was made. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mateja. After this explanation, before we get to CFO, we'll have to break for lunch because it's ready. And I'm told it hasn't ready for quite some time.
Let me
say something, DJ. You see, that's when you talk about the cases, at least you have made some clarity that some cases are not cases that you can deal with as a department. But it is important, because I don't think when the official is doing targets for cases to be concluded at a certain time, will include those cases that they cannot investigate, like criminal cases. Those ones should be separated. Maybe you must say we have so much cases. Out of so much, these ones are out of our hands. We can just follow, but we have no... Yeah, you can't say they'll be concluded. You can't even ask them, because they're not going to give you the right answer. So it's those that are within your hands that you can talk about and target the conclusion of them.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I think on the question of training, the training is exactly what the Honorable Members, it's in line with how the Honorable Members have outlined it. If I'm working in a particular area or in my job and I want to do a course that is about farming, that I'm a fund out of my own pocket. That has got nothing to do with the department. And in most cases, we don't fund it. At the signing of performance agreement, that is where the relevant supervisor and the manager are supposed to agree that in order to assist an official to perform their work and meet the Department of Labor's objectives, what kind of training would they require? And the training must be in line with it, because we are also governed by prescriptions. We cannot use government money to fund training as people want. I think the issue that the DDG corporate services were raising was that it is in line with the performance agreements that are signed between the supervisor and the relevant officials, but in the main it is to enable them to do their work. On vacancies, I think there are two things here, Honorable Chairperson. The information provided also is a reflection of what happened at the end of the financial year. That is starting from the 1st of April 2013 to the 31st. That is 1st of April to 31st of March. So it's a reflection of the financial year. What we can do, because we don't have that information now, is to give you, Honorable Chairperson and members, the data to say as from 31st of March, this is where we were. And during the period 1st of April 2014 to the end of the first quarter, which is end of June, because that's the quarter, and that is where we are able to measure what positions were filled, which ones were still not filled, because this is a moving target. A lot of people resign on a daily basis. Some will terminate on a daily basis due to misconduct, and then at the same time, throughout the country, their appointments and so on. And you cannot measure it on a daily basis, but a quarterly statistics is what helps us, and that we can provide. So that we can indicate where we are. It is the case that we would have loved to fill vacancies and reduce the percentage, and maybe it's worth looking at. But we need to sensitize members that there are also other aspects that are beyond our control that also influence the rate of appointment, especially at the high level. There are security clearances that people must go. That is managed by the relevant agencies. There are also qualification checks that is also managed by the relevant agencies. And in some cases, the delegations to do the appointment, the panels must be chaired by the ministers, and the availability is also an issue. Hence, at SMS, there are those kind of issues that contribute to to delay, but we can provide quarterly statistics. I think we'll end up with
you. So this is up to the recruiter, up to the
end of March.
End of March, 20th of March. It's funny,
2014. 1st of April 2013 to end of March 2014. It's a year fix.
So, and now you are reporting, and then what does this? Why are we reminded about the 2013, 2013, why is it so? I want to understand the teaching words, I want to learn, I want to understand the learning of you. When we ask this question, that say 2013, 2014, financial year, why then the question of the first of the become the an issue?
Okay. Thanks, Chairperson. I think that the slide is basically saying, as at the end of March 2014, when the financial year came to an end, the vacancy rate in the Department of Labor was 12.9%.
You want to say 2014 or
March 2014, the financial year starts from the 1st of April 2013.
So
which slide is that? So maybe you are looking at the same cloud. No, the audited outcome, the financial officer will deal with that, because it's a different issue. The issue that I was addressing was the 12.9% vacancy rate, which is in the administration report. That is slide number 45. I think the last question around the issue of the young people and potential, I thought that the Public Employment Services colleagues were going to deal with that issue. But we do have in the department, one of the reasons why we have increased the intake of young people in the department, and we have a breakdown around the target of young people that we wanted to have employed in the department. What precisely because of that issue, the slide before that, which is slide number 43, which is on the screen, was precisely to also address that problem. That as the department that is responsible for implementing, which we need to lead by example, and that most of our inspectors, most of our client service officers are people that went through the Department of Labor internship program. And that is why we're able to increase a large number of young people in the department that are between 21 and 35 in most cases, by employing them in most of the lower level positions and those that were that there's been a sub-potential. They've been employed in the high-level positions as well. And that was to also make sure that we not only consider people that have the competencies in other areas, but we give young people an opportunity to join the department. And one of the reasons is because, especially among inspectors, the rate at which we are losing them, especially to the private sector and to other governments such as NIMAS and NIT, is also very, very high. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Yeah.
I think let's go back to this slide 5.1. I know that I'm rushing my case, I mean, because we're talking in two different slides. Five, reduction in percentage vacancy rate by 31st March. Percentage rate by 6%. Now, I remember when the honorable member was talking, this 6% is 6% of what number? I see there at the end, of when you talk about challenges, you are saying the establishment group from 8062 post to 8755. Should we assume that this 6% is 6% of...
8062.
That's it. It is like that. Okay. And the vacancy rate at the end of March 2014 was 12.9. And what number is that?
That's it. It's the same number, but the problem is now your base has increased from 80 to 87. So the meaning
that nothing has taken place.
It has, but the base increased. It's 95 every all the increase, all the efforts that were done.
The good chairperson, what happened was that there were a number of areas in the IT section. 130 new positions were created. In the compensation fund, which is also part of DOL, the commissioners here can't remember the total number of new positions that were created, and the same with UIF, and within the department there was fleet management and so on. Now, some of the approvals of those new positions happened in December, January, and so on. Now, when you have approval taking place at that position, because first you have to go through the process of getting the money, then the approval, and once you have the approval, the year comes to an end, the auditors come to us and say, what is your total staff establishment? Because of the new positions that have been created, it is now at 8755. Now, when they look at the establishment and the number of positions filled, because it is difficult to have approval and fill at the same time. That is why the 6% was what we're striving to get in the department. We want to make sure that the vacancy rate is below 6%. However, because of the increase of the establishment and the timing in terms of auditing, at the 31st of March, our vacancy rate has increased to 12.9% because we have not filled most of the new positions that have been created. So it is an underachievement because you're having vacancy rate that is high, but during the current financial year, starting from 1st of March, 1st of April 2014, what they have in the plan is to reduce that to within 10%, and I thought that what Honorable Member America was suggesting was that given the high rate of unemployment, we should be changing that 10 to even 4, because we need to work towards filling a lot of those vacancies, and I thought that that was also the point that was raised by Honorable Muteka, to say, given the high rate of unemployment, we cannot have the question of IVEC and the raised in the department. Thank you, Chair.
John Seisang.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just a question. In terms of the capital budget of the department, to what extent are we being sort of being presented to us for monitoring purposes? And perhaps Honorable DG could respond to that.
Okay, then that question will be, at the tail of the list, because the new one, I thought you were doing a follow-up. Can we attend for lunch, please, there's a few for lunches. Okay. The meeting could attend. Thank you.